What's one of the hardest things to do when it comes to God's will? Taking your time, waiting for him to speak. We're going to talk about that on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. We'll also look at the mass readings for the Feast of the Transfiguration. Stay right there because it's coming right up. Lord, what do you want me to do? And hurry up because I need to get busy, right? How many times do we face that situation? My name is Gary Zimak. Thanks for joining me today. We're going to talk on the program about discerning God's will. What does God want me to do today, tomorrow, next week? And Lord, please speak quickly because I'm going crazy. That time sensitivity, I think we go crazy sometimes because we can't wait. But what happens is God often does make us wait, because he wants us to grow in faith. And there's always a reason for any delay that happens when it comes to our request to the Lord. But I'm grateful to be with you here today. Easy for me to say, because today is the Feast of the Transfiguration. This is a big day in the liturgical year. It celebrates the event, and we're going to hear this in the gospel today, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up onto the mountain and was transfigured before them. And essentially what happened was they got a glimpse of heaven. And that's something that I think we all need from time to time. We need that glimpse of heaven because we get distracted. We get distracted and forget that there is more to life than what we see with our eyes. There is eternal life. That's why we're all here. But I have bad days just as you do. So I really get that we can become overwhelmed. We can become discouraged. The Lord doesn't want us to do that. How do we overcome that? Well, we have to keep that eye on the Lord and heaven. We really need to do that. Every day we have to be thinking about that. And that's one of the reasons I like doing this show, because it helps me to focus, and I hope it helps you to focus too, on heavenly treasures. That's really what we want to concentrate on in this life, even though we are bombarded on a daily basis with all kinds of material treasures. And the desire for these material things can sometimes blind us to what we should really focus on. So we're going to talk about that on the program today. And if you need more information about any of the things we discuss on the show, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Now, I know what you're wondering. What is the beverage du jour? Today's beverage du jour. Here we go. If you guessed Mystic Monk Royal Pecan Coffee, you are correct, because that is the beverage du jour. If you're not familiar with Mystic Monk and you're a coffee lover, you need to make yourself familiar with the greatest coffee you will ever drink. You can find out more about Mystic Monk Coffee, brewed by real monks passionate for fine coffee, on my website, followingthetruth.com. Really good stuff. If you like coffee, you've got to give this a try. They have a number of assortments. They've got special seasonal blends that they're always incorporating into their catalog. They have K-cups. They call them monk shots. They have a whole bean. They have ground coffee. They have flavored. They have regular. They have excellent coffee. Mystic Monk Coffee. Check them out at followingthetruth.com. And every purchase that you make through my website helps me, it helps the monks, and it helps you too, because you get yourself some great coffee. So I thank you for that. Anyway, I need to take another sip of that so we can get started here. A couple of items of business. I want to keep you focused on a couple of events that we have coming up. There you go. The Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry Retreat, which is taking place at the Malvern Retreat House outside of Philadelphia. That's August the 14th through the 16th. It's the first three-day retreat that I've ever led at Malvern, which is the oldest retreat house in the United States. I've spoken there at other retreats, but I've never led one exclusively designed for worriers. So if you're someone who tends to worry, there is still time to sign up. You can find out details at my website, followingthetruth.com. It's going to be a great day, a great 3 days. The whole schedule is posted on the blog on my website. And you'll see all kinds of images for Malvern Retreat, the Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry Retreat. If you click on those, it'll take you right to where you need to go and let you find out what's going on there. The other piece of business is on September the 4th, we're going to kick off the 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. And I invite you to join us for that. We'll use Father Michael Gately's book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. And I'm going to pass along information probably within the next 2 weeks about where you can get the book and how you can get it at a very much discounted rate. And we're going to do it 33 days in a row. We'll start on Friday the 4th. We'll go right through the weekends. We will conclude on October the 7th, and we will either make our total consecration if you've never done it before, or you will renew it. I've done mine for the past 4 years. This is the fifth year in a row that I'll be doing it. I've done it on the show for that many years too. So we're going to renew, we're going to make our consecration, and what will happen is through that process, we will become closer to Mary, who will lead us closer to Jesus. That's the main goal of this retreat, of this consecration, is to get us closer to Jesus. So stay tuned for more information about that. If you're in the Birmingham, Alabama area, I'll be down in Birmingham on August the 19th giving a talk about total consecration. I believe the talk will be filmed, so even if you're not in the area, it should end up on YouTube, and I'll make sure to let you know as soon as that happens. All right, let's pray so we can get right on with the material. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for letting us come together for 30 minutes. Thank you for listening to our prayer requests. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for the many blessings all around us, the blessings of nature, the blessing of our lives, the blessing of your Son Jesus, the blessing of sacred Scripture. You're so good to us, Father, and we're very grateful for that. We ask you to help us to continue to walk the road, which will one day lead to eternal life in heaven with you. Help us to figure out what it is that you want us to do today, tomorrow, and every day for the rest of our lives. We know you have a plan for us. Please reveal that plan to us. Father, we ask you to help those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with financial difficulties, those who are struggling with religious persecution, those who are struggling with extreme weather, also those who are battling any kind of an addiction. Please help us, Father, with our problems, our intentions. We give them to you now. I'm going to pause, and you mention your intentions. I've got mine, and we give those to you now, Father. Thank you, Father. We know that you can handle them a lot better than we can. I also ask you to grant me the ability to turn the show over to you tonight. I want you to speak through me, and please send your Holy Spirit to open our minds and our hearts so that we can hear your message. We ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, ask for her help, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you for tuning into the program today. It's a pleasure to be with you here. My name is Gary Zimek. We've been doing this show on Blog Talk Radio for over 4 years now. We're in our fifth year, praise the Lord. That's thanks to you. You're the reason that I'm here. Your contributions, your prayers, your spreading the word about this show are the reason that we can keep it on the air. And I ask you to please continue to do what you can, and I'll do my part to be here, but I need your help. I really need your prayers. I need your financial support. I need you to let your friends know about this program. We've got it down into a pretty good format now, 30 minutes a night, Monday through Friday. I think that works good. It's not too much time, but it's enough time to get the message across. So, as always, if there's anything that I can do for you, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. Contact me through the website or email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Okay, let's talk about these readings. The Feast of the Transfiguration. So this is a big day in the life of the Lord and really in the life of the church. The apostles were, they were having to deal with some difficult news. The Lord was about to tell them that he was going to suffer and die, and he needed to give them a glimpse of what it would be like, what he would look like in his glory. In other words, it's going to all work out in the end. And I think you and I need that glimpse too. We need to step back sometimes and focus on heaven, what awaits us in heaven, because otherwise we're going to become overwhelmed and discouraged. Let's look at the readings now. The first reading, we have a second reading today because it is a feast. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. As I watched, thrones were set up, and the ancient one took his throne. His clothing was bright as snow, and the hair on his head as white as wool. His throne was flames of fire with wheels of burning fire. A surging stream of fire flowed out from where he sat. Thousands upon thousands were ministering to him, and myriads upon myriads attended him. The court was convened, and the books were opened. As the visions during the night continued, I saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the ancient one and was presented before him, the one like a son of man received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. His kingship shall not be destroyed. So here we have a prophecy of what it will be like in heaven. Now you remember, the Lord suffered, Lord Jesus suffered and died on the cross. He was murdered by the people who did not accept him, but he rose from the dead because he's bigger than death, and he ascended into heaven, and he opened the gates of heaven for all of us. This world is not perfect. There is evil in the world. Does that mean evil is bigger than God? No, it does not mean that. God is bigger than evil. But God allows evil to exist. One of the main reasons is because we have free will. We can do bad things. He respects us so much that he's not going to force us to be good. And as a result, when that happens, you have evil. Some people don't want to do the right thing. But you and I need to pause sometimes and realize that one day, there will be no more evil. When Jesus Christ comes in glory, the second coming, the world's going to be over, and there will be no more evil. The devil will be done away with. We've already been told that in the book of Revelation. And there will be no more evil in the world. When you and I die, if it happens before the second coming, our soul will be able to go to heaven, where there will be no evil. So what we're facing now in the world is temporary. You need to remember that, especially when it comes to your problems and the struggles that you face on a daily basis. And if you do remember that, you're going to be more peaceful. You'll also be more willing to do what you have to do to stay close to the Lord and get to heaven. It's really that simple. If you're not thinking about or desiring going to heaven, chances are you're not going to do what you need to do to get there, which is cooperate with the grace that God gives you. He doesn't expect you to be holy on your own, but he expects you to cooperate with the grace that he gives you. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 97, the Lord is King, the Most High over all the earth. The Lord is King, let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Justice and judgment are the foundation of his throne. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his justice, and all peoples see his glory. Because you, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth, exalted far above all gods. The Lord is in charge. Any of the problems that you may face or that you see in the world today, the Lord can solve. He may not solve them in the way you want, but he can do it. We need to keep that in mind. The Lord is bigger than your problems. And one day, all of your problems will be gone. They'll be either gone in this life, or they will be gone in the next life. All of your problems are temporary. The second reading is from the second letter of St. Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 19. Beloved, We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that unique declaration came to him for the majestic glory. This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. Moreover, we possess this prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now, this is a testimony from St. Peter that he saw the Lord in glory, in his glory, at the Transfiguration, and that the Father came with the message, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Now we're going to turn to the Gospel, and we will hear the account of the Transfiguration that Peter describes. This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 10. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say, they were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Suddenly looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. Really, really powerful story. And you can see that Jesus was conversing with Moses, who represented the law, and Elijah, who represented the prophets. So we were seeing that link with the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New Covenant. And Peter didn't want to leave. He wanted to stay. That's what you and I feel like sometimes when we think about heaven, right? We think about no problems, no worries, no sickness, total happiness to be with the Lord. That's where we're headed. But we've got to be careful that we don't take our foot off of the gas pedal in this life. If we do, there's a chance that we might not make it to heaven. So we have to keep following the Lord, cooperating with his grace. And that's a daily struggle. That's not something that you just do and you get in so many points, you know, you get so many points and then you can just relax. No, that's not the way it works. For the rest of your life, you've got to be doing every day what you need to do to remain holy. And the way that happens is to stay with the Lord, to walk with him daily and consistently rely on his grace and cooperate with the grace that he gives you. He will give you what you need, but he expects you to do your share. If you do that, you will be okay and you will get to heaven. But the trick is, sometimes we don't do that because it's not easy. So this day on the Feast of the Transfiguration, we want to pause. And I would recommend, if you can, to read those readings again. If you don't have a missal at home, or if you don't have a magazine like the Magnificat or the Word Among Us, you can go to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website, usccb.org, and look at the daily Mass readings. Read them again. Let the Lord speak to your heart, because that's what he does. When you open up sacred scripture, the Lord speaks directly to you. You might get a slightly different message than I do. Obviously, the main message is the same, but he might be saying something specifically to you. Also remember that at the end of the Transfiguration, what happened? The disciples and Jesus went down from the mountain. And just before they had ascended to the mountain, I probably should point out, he told them that if you want to follow me, you're going to have to pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. They go up to the mountain. They see the Lord in his glory, giving them a foretaste of what awaits them in heaven. And then on the way down, the Lord mentioned that he's going to have to die. He's going to have to suffer and die. So these were two pretty somber events, or pretty somber messages that Jesus had. But in the middle was that glimpse of heaven. That's what awaits us. But we have to keep our eyes focused on that. And it's going to have to be our eyes of faith, because we can't see heaven. We can't see the finish line. We can't see what awaits us. But through faith, we have that hope that one day we can live with the Lord in heaven. And it really will be a problem-free paradise. But again, in order to get there, we're going to have to do our part. The Lord certainly wants us to do something. It's not an automatic process. The Lord gives us the grace. It's kind of like if I handed you a gift card and you were hungry, you would still have to go to the restaurant and use the gift card to buy your food. You can't just eat the card. So that's the important thing to remember. You have to do something in order to get to heaven. You got to cooperate with that grace. Now, if you have questions about this, please feel free to email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's talk now about what does God want me to do? Discerning God's will. How to know God's will. And what I've been really doing over the past several weeks on Thursdays is looking at my new book, Faith, Hope, and Clarity, How to Know God's Will, and examining it chapter by chapter so that we are able to discern. I know that's a big word. It's a fancy word. And I think sometimes people associate that word strictly with vocations. But it's so much more than that. It really is. It's so much more than just vocations. Discernment is a way to figure out what God wants me to do today in my life. What does he want me to do today? And in today's talk, we're going to discuss the fact that God is not in a hurry. And sometimes this process of determining God's will, it takes a lot of time. We need to be able to be patient and let the Lord's will unfold for our lives. Now, specifically, I'm not talking about something he wants you to do today. I mean, essentially what you want to do if you follow God's will is to obey the teachings of the church, to obey the, or to take care of the duties of your state in life, whatever that may be. If you're married and have a family, there you have family responsibilities, you have a job to go to, things like that. That's what you're supposed to do. You're doing that, you're doing God's will. But also, sometimes God asks you to do something. You're getting a feeling that maybe I should contribute some money to a charity. Maybe I should help this person. Maybe I should work more at my church. Maybe I should take another job, even though it pays less money, but I think it's a better use of my God-given abilities. Maybe we should adopt a child. These are all things that you may be trying to decide in life. And often you could be asking the Lord, because I went through this when I was trying to discern full-time ministry. You might be going through this, asking the Lord, and he's not saying anything. And you're saying, well, what do I do? Sometimes what he wants you to do is just relax. He wants you to either learn something, he wants you to be able to trust him more, or maybe the time's just not right for an unknown reason. You may never find out why God doesn't answer you as quickly as you would like, but you have to trust that he is God and that he knows what he's doing. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, one of my favorite gospel passages, reminds us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." See that? Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is smarter than we are. I mean, I know that sounds like a silly statement, but he really is, and we have to trust that he knows what he's doing. So if you're not getting a clear answer, then he may just, or I would say he does just want you to hang back. Keep asking him, keep speaking to him, keep listening. But if you're not getting an answer, he doesn't want you to do anything. If he wants you to do something, he's going to tell you. Now, you may not be listening. You're going to have to learn to listen. You've got to speak to him every day. And you got to allow some quiet time. If you do that and you're still not getting an answer, You're praying before the Blessed Sacrament if you can. You're reading your Bible. And you're not hearing anything, there's a good chance he doesn't want you to do anything. I like this psalm. This is Psalm 131. This is a reminder that we need to trust the Lord like we are little children. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a child quieted at its mother's breast. Like a child that is quieted is my soul. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time and forevermore. Isn't that nice? That's Psalm 131. That's one that I like to read when I'm very confused. And I just have to trust that the Lord knows what he's doing. He's not giving me a clear answer. And that always brings me peace. Psalm 131. I recommend you bookmark that one, especially if you're like me and you get a little frustrated when God doesn't answer fast enough. The Lord knows what he's doing. He doesn't operate the way we would like him to operate. And we can be very frustrated when he's silent. Abraham, Moses, Mary, Joseph, Paul, they all knew what it was like to receive the words, "Just trust me," as the answer to their prayer for clarity in their lives. And we know the story of Abraham. Hebrews 11:8 tells us that by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was to go. Hebrews 11:27, by faith Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. When God gives us, or when he seems to not answer our request for help, for information, he wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. That's hard for us to do because we like to see with our eyes, we like to feel with our hands. We're used to using our senses. But we can learn so much, and this is what I found in my life when I was praying for a long time for an opportunity to work full-time for the Lord. I was miserable at my job, praying, and nothing seemed to be happening. But what was happening was that I was growing closer to him. We were speaking on a more frequent basis than I ever had spoken with him in the past. So we were growing closer together. And things were coming along, but they just weren't the things that I was hoping for. But I got to know the Lord very well during these times, and our relationship grew because of it. Psalm 27:14, I like this. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Isn't that good? We have to remember that God's working in our lives, even when he appears to be silent. And sometimes when we're trying to determine a course of action, we have a major decision we're trying to face, it could take months, or it can even take years. When he doesn't answer us with a concrete answer, he either wants us to trust him, he wants us to stay still, or he wants us just to take one day at a time because it's not the time yet. If he wants us to know something, if God wants us to know something in our lives, he's going to tell us what it is. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense that he's got a plan for you, but he's not going to tell you what the plan is. So always remember that. God will let you know what he wants you to do. You just have to give him a chance to work in your life. But don't stop asking, because that's how your relationship grows. Well, believe it or not, we are out of time. Tomorrow on the show, it's our Friday doubleheader. We'll do the power of kindness, and then we will also look at the Mass readings for Sunday, for Sunday's Mass. So we do a lot on the Friday show. We got a lot of readings. Actually, we had a lot of readings today. We had a first and second reading and a psalm and a gospel. We're going to have the same thing for Sunday, so we'll talk about that on the show tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I hope you'll be back tomorrow. My name is Gary Zimak, and I intend to be here tomorrow, God willing, so I hope to be able to talk to you then. Have a wonderful night. God bless you. And remember, if God wants you to do something, He will eventually know you what he wants. He will eventually let you know what he wants you to do. God bless.